Welcome to This Woman Can, the Women's Leadership Podcast and your source of information related to women's leadership, female entrepreneurship, personal success and career advancement. I'm your host, Janice Sutherland, Executive Coach, Leadership Development Expert and the author of This Woman Can, the No Bullshit Guide for Women Who Lead. And now, this week's episode. And welcome to this week's edition of This Woman Can. And it's a great interview this week, even if I say so myself, and I'm really excited for you to hear it because I had such fun, as I normally do, but a little bit extra this week interviewing my interviewee this week. Now, my guest, let me give you a little bit of background about her. She describes herself as a connector of people and dots. She's hailing from Jamaica and having graced the stage at numerous events across the Caribbean, Europe, Asia, and the USA, she has built a brand that is synonymous with the word excellence in the world of virtual events, TV hosting, speaking, content creation, brand storytelling, and online brand strategy. Her experience has taught her to respect the process, pay attention to details, understand the needs of her clients, foster great client relationships, and to always deliver excellence in service. All that and so much more is evident in my interview with the effervescent Dr. Terry Correll Reed. So please have your listening ears ready, as there are so many takeaways. It was such a great interview that I'd really hate for you to miss them. And stick around to the end because I'm going to share some news that will help you elevate your game, be a game changer in your own leadership career. So Terry Correll, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
I can sense it's going to be a ball of energy, just like I see you on social media. I have this vision built up, you know, and I see the pictures of you dancing and stuff like that. So
just mean random things.
Yes. So I have this vision. I think it's going to be a fantastic interview.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it. Nice to connect.
Thank you. So Terry Correll, tell us about your journey. Obviously, like I said, there's what people see on in social media, but as we've just started conversing, I know there's a lot more to you. So tell us about your journey and how you got to where you are today.
Okay, no problem. So it's kind of funny because a lot of persons in my space are now finding out that I actually graduated as a doctor in veterinary medicine in 2007. And they kind of go, well, oh, we didn't know this, because we see you hosting events and you're, you know, you're hosting on TV and you're speaking, and it's never about dogs, it's never about cats, it's never about animals. And that is the beauty of my journey. It has been a journey of pivoting. Mm-hmm. And so when I was about 4 or 5, I had already defined my career goal, which was veterinary medicine.
Right.
Loved animals, and luckily I was with my grandmother and my mother who supported it. Right. So they gave me pets. We collected stray animals. You know, I was determined that this is what I was going to do. And at the age of 8, I actually wrote to our Governor General telling him, listen, I'm going to be a veterinarian and I'm going to take care of all of these stray animals all over Jamaica because they need love too. He responded, and that actually helped to fuel my fire. Called me Dr. Doolittle in high school. I get a scholarship to go to Cuba because I didn't come from a family with money. I had to get the grade. Yes. You had to get the scholarship if you wanted to get the opportunity. Yes. That was just the fact. Went to the government, the education ministry at the time, did a panel, did the interview, got the scholarship. Started off in Cuba. Everything is in Spanish. Every class, every book, every exam. I'm like, why did I do this? What was I thinking? And so, you know, even that is a process of really defining your character. It really showed you what you're willing to put in is what you will get out. Mm. It's not going to fall in your lap. Whatever you're working for is not going to fall in your lap. So we had to tote water sometimes from the wells. We had water lock off, light lock off, or salt lock off. But I got through it. And by the time 2007 came around, a class that started with 75 people dwindled to about 15, of which I was the only English speaker. So I come home and I'm like, yes, I'm going to get registered. I'm going to do this exam. And I go to the vet board and I say, here are my papers. I go with my mom and I'm so excited. And they said, yeah, but there's a problem. We do not accredit students who study veterinary medicine in Cuba. We're talking about a 14, 15 year relationship that I've had with this career goal. And I said, what? They said, yeah, you're going to have to go to Trinidad and Tobago or you're going to have to go to Alabama. And I said, how many more years? They said, 2 more years. I said, what? I said, well, will you give me a scholarship? Because I don't have any money. That's the reason why I got the scholarship in the first place. And they said, no, we can't help you with that. And I remember my mommy crying in the parking lot saying, well, what are you going to do? All you've done are the sciences. Wow. You didn't have any fallback subjects. You have no cushion, no resume, no money. I was broke and I was now disappointed and my dream had been crushed. And I looked at my mother in the parking lot and I said, mommy, I have absolutely no idea, but I know it is going to be okay. And that is probably what a lot of us are experiencing right now, where COVID presents that block, where life just comes to a standstill. And I figure we have one of two things we can do. We can sit down, we can, and it's okay to be disappointed. Take your time to process it. We're not saying that you shouldn't process it. Process it. But don't sit down there and dwell in a place where there's self-pity and you blame life and you blame the government and you blame everything. What you are to do is to dig deep. And it's by digging deep that I realize, but I am more than just a career goal. I am more than just a qualification or a certification or more than Dr. Terry Carell Reed. I have other things that makes me multi-talented, multidimensional, and multifaceted. So I decided to do a deep dive. Okay. So somebody said, try public relations. You're very good to, you know, relating. And I said, I don't know what public relations is, you know, Janice. You know, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, you know, but guess what? I'm going to try it. Maybe I fail. Yeah. Maybe I don't.
Yeah.
Maybe I learn. And everything that I did, I basically went in uncharted territory, not knowing a clue, but having the right attitude. So I moved from public relations to general management to media, where people said, we think you'd be good for media. And I said, sure. And it went to online management and online brand management. And now I'm on my own as a solopreneur, hosting events under my brand, which is Terry Carell, all because of a door that closed in my face.
Yes. Love that. Absolutely love that. And like you said, it's about the pivoting, it's about picking yourself up. And I always tell people, you can only control the controllables. When you spend time there wasting time trying cutting off everybody, you know, whose fault was it, from who was it, there's nothing you can do about it. It's not going to change.
Absolutely. And I've said that because my story naturally, it resonates with a lot of persons who didn't get the job that they wanted, didn't get the promotion. It comes in many different, you know, and you know, I tell them, listen, you have to come to terms with yourself to understand that you can only control what is in your power.
Very
to
much. Absolutely.
And in all of the pivoting, I've always found peace. And that peace comes from understanding that, listen, how can I adjust and adapt to life as it is now, as opposed to what people tell me it should be or what I think it should look like?
Yeah.
Because if I can adjust and adapt to how life is now, then it means that I am nimble and I am flexible when pivots need to take place.
Very much, very much. Now, pivoting is a big term being used right now, especially in the current climate. So and it's not just the current climate. It could be that you're leaving school or what, you know, and you're not getting, you won't be able to get the job. I know certainly a lot of graduates don't get the jobs they study for and stuff like that. You know, there's women out there who want to return to work, but, you know, because the children can't do the work they were doing before. All those are examples of pivoting and much more. So, Terry Carell, for somebody in that position, or I'll say a woman in that position, what would be the one piece of advice you'd share with them to have a successful pivot?
Well, to have a successful pivot, I think you truly have to know what it is you offer. I think a lot of the times when I speak to women, they underestimate their power.
Yes.
I think they underestimate the fact that they are power and that they are powerful.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's amazing that a lot of women are handling children at home. They have partners, they have businesses, or they work for bosses, and they're managing 3 million things on their plate.
Yes.
But when you ask them to focus now on what they need to do for themselves, all of a sudden it's like, but I can't do it.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you can't do it for you when you do it for 3 million other people.
Yeah.
You're the perfect sister, auntie, niece to everyone. You take care of everyone. So I think what women need to do is stop asking for permission. Stop asking for the validation. Stop looking for people to tell you, sure, you can step into this room or you can step into this space. It's not for you to say, but listen, I have a right.
Yeah.
To be in this room. I have a right to be in this space, and I have a right to sit at this table.
Yeah.
So until we can come to a point where there is this inner peace and this inner awareness that we are beasts and we are fierce, and there's nothing wrong with being great at what you do.
Not at all.
No apology for your excellence, for operating in excellence and for doing very well. If we can't do that, then it doesn't matter how many coaching sessions you do. It don't matter how many webinars you sit in. It does not matter how many tools and classes and online courses you take, because those are just tools. You have to own and claim your power. And
Definitely. That
is the one thing I would tell any woman. If you want your success, which is the happiness and your fulfillment, is you have to now come to terms with who you are and the value you bring to the table.
Love it. Love it.
Jesus.
And I'm, say it again. And you know, and you just, it brings that to mind with my favorite, one of my things that really irritate me is that we have all these empowerment events, and you'll find I don't use the word empowerment very often. I don't like the word, because I've said this before in probably previous episodes, that the word empowerment means to give. And I'm like, but how can you give me something I already possess? I already have the power. You know, I think sometimes women sit there waiting to get this lightning bolt empowerment, you know, to hit them in this event. I'm like, but you already have it. What you need to do.
And the thing is, I understand doing it, Janice.
Yeah,
for sure. And I mean, I can understand, because some women have gone through trauma, and especially if you come from our backgrounds, you know, whether it's small island, whether it is being a black woman, being double minority, all of those things, our trauma has been generational. You know, there are women who, since they've been born, they've had mothers tell them that they're good for nothing. They've had fathers look at them and tell them that they're ugly. There are some of them who, you know, whose parents have abandoned them, which makes them, you know, grow up looking for this sense of purpose. So it's not that we don't understand why it's so hard for some women to be able to look in the mirror and see their power. But what I would say is that it is your responsibility. In spite of the trauma, the abuse, the different circumstances and situations that you have experienced, understand that it is your responsibility. And if you don't find your power, don't expect the world to find it for you.
Definitely.
If you don't put a value on yourself, do not expect the world to put that value for you. It's not gonna happen.
Stop waiting. Stop waiting to be rescued. That's my other thing. You know, no one is coming. You can rescue yourself. You're quite capable.
Absolutely.
Just believing it.
Absolutely.
So we need to get off our pulpit a little bit. So Terry Carell, you know, like, so we talked about these different transitions, but describe for us one of your biggest challenges. And when you face those challenges, how do you overcome them? What lessons do you learn?
So I think one of the biggest challenges, when I look back in retrospect, because it's funny how I breeze through this, and it's something that women do, right?
Yes.
We know that we're up against something, and we have an uncanny ability to just chop through, and we keep on moving to the very next thing, because we still know that we have more things on our plate.
Yes.
And we don't stop enough to look back on our wins or our little victories.
Most
and
definitely.
Say, "Yo, who did I?
Yeah.
How did I even do this?
Yeah.
In all of the transitions that I've made, it still blows people's minds that I did all of them without formal training. Right? I didn't go into a class. I didn't get a certificate. I didn't do a course. And I think one of the biggest challenges was the mental challenge. Coming into these spaces where I was always the youngest.
Right.
Always the youngest.
Yeah.
So I was managing people older than myself, or at the executive level, when I would go and sit in the boardroom, I was the youngest. So not only was I the youngest, I was also a female. Right. And I was also the youngest female who did not have any formal education in these areas. So that can be pretty intimidating if you allow it to. So there were moments when I was like, but can you do this? Do you deserve to really be here? Because everybody else is
the imposter.
The imposter, you know, tries to sneak in. And so the biggest challenge was getting over the hurdle, because we rely so much on our qualifications.
Yeah.
We rely on fitting in and being regarded as colleagues. So you kind of know that you're going in a little bit below. And what I will tell anybody in that position is, understand that if you're given the opportunity, you're given the opportunity because your qualifications really don't count in this case. It means that whatever it is you have put on display, whether it was nonverbal communication, maybe something you communicated, or just your attitude and your interaction, people were willing to bet on
you.
Regardless of being young, black, female, whatever.
Absolutely.
So it makes it easier now for you to take on that challenge and say, but if they didn't see something in me, then I wouldn't be here.
Exactly.
So the fact that I'm here means that I've already kind of stepped into the room.
Yeah.
So now I got to rise to the occasion and show them why I deserve to stay in this room.
Excellent.
So the biggest challenge was getting over that thought process of all of these things are against you. And look at it as, no, these are things that will actually be my advantage.
Right. And just to add to that, what I always tell people who are going for roles or promotions or careers, that no organization employs someone in their business for it to fail. That's not why they're employing you. They're employing you because you bring in something that they need to make their organization succeed. And once you remember that, it's like, oh, yeah, because I'm not going to employ you because I want you to do a bad job. That's not why I'm employed. It's a waste of my time and money. You know, so you know, with my CEO head on, that you're just giving me more headache. I'm trying to resolve a headache here, not create one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But sometimes what we tend to do is we self-sabotage.
Yes.
And we find all the excuses in the world as to why we shouldn't and why we can't. And what we don't realize is if we change the language that we use with ourselves,
very much.
And if we start saying, but we can, I realize that because I was different, I was not formally trained to think a certain way. I didn't view things the same way.
Yes.
So I went in as a consumer a lot of the times rather than the employer.
Yeah.
So I would come to them going, but why would you do that when we do this as a consumer? So my perspective was different. So sometimes what we view as our disadvantage can actually turn out to be a feather in our cap.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that. I love that. Turn that disadvantage to the biggest advantage.
Absolutely.
So, Terry Carell, how has failure made a positive difference in your life?
Ooh, I love that question. You gave me all the feels. And you probably will never see anybody react to the word failure like that as much as I do, right? When we think of failure, we think we cringe.
Yeah.
It's a fear of rejection, the fear of looking stupid, the fear of not being good enough, the fear. And what I've told a lot of people is when you look at some of the biggest brands, whether they're personal brands or commercial brands, when you read their backstory, nobody just came out of thin air being amazing.
No.
They all experienced failure.
Yeah.
And it's how you deal with the failure. So when failure came to me, I was like, all right, yeah, I know this don't feel good, but I never took it personally. We take failure too personally.
Yeah.
We carry it around with some badge and some block on our back. For what? Let it go. So for me, whenever I came across failure, I said, okay, stop. Why did you fail? Okay. Was it you? Could you have done something differently? What didn't you do? Oh, you didn't do this. All right, let's experiment again. So for me, this life is an experimentation. I'm going to win at some of them and I'm going to lose at some of them. But without the failure, I can't improve. Without the failure, I cannot analyze. I cannot judge how to make certain improvements in my life and how do I grow if I'm trying to stay in very safe areas without coming across some failure.
Yes.
If you're going to stay safe, then don't complain when you get a plateau, you hit a plateau, when you're stuck.
Yeah.
Don't complain because you want to be in the space where you don't have to be corrected. But if you really want to just completely max out on your potential, you have to meet up with failure. Just that when you meet him or her, you say, nice to meet you. You're not going to win. It's nice to meet you. I see you. I acknowledge you. But you're not going to have a lot of vacancy here. You're not going to have a lot of time here.
Excellent.
You're going to keep it moving. And I'm going to keep it moving. So don't take it personal because I don't. And I think that's what has been able to make me move through so many spaces as easily as I do.
Brilliant. So Terry Carell, I love that about the failure and taking the learning from it. So in all of that, what has been your biggest career triumph?
My biggest career triumph?
Yes.
I would say becoming my own brand. Okay. And I'll tell you why. I think a lot of us, especially on depending on where we're grown, where we're born, where we're raised, what we're exposed to, and cultural and social norms, a lot of us grow up to become micro brands for big brands.
Yes.
We go to school, we're taught how to be the best employee we can be.
Yeah.
So we come out to be assets to big brands. And there's nothing wrong with that because it's a training ground.
Yeah.
We can't, some of us can't just jump out into the wide ocean and become our own businesses. Some people do, some people don't. So I'm not knocking the persons who actually become assets for big brands because those were the training grounds for me to become my own brand. But I think the more that I did and the more that I tapped into my potential and the more that I realized, yo, I'm actually very good in team leadership. I'm good in public speaking. Oh, wow. I'm good in personal branding. I'm actually good at a lot of stuff. And I go, well, what if I were to really invest a lot of time and effort into my skills? For me, what would that look like? And that's a scary, listen, that's a scary thought. And I can understand why some of us would prefer to stay where we know it's safer. It's a little bit seemingly. Seemingly safer. And it, you don't ruffle any feathers and you get this check every two weeks or every month, depending on your payment structure.
Yeah.
But for me, the biggest thing is taking all of these little curveballs, making the best out of them and becoming bigger every time. Mm. What I observed is after every block, every pivot, every transition, every change, I came out bigger. My personal brand as Terry Carell came out bigger. It was like an elevation, a promotion. And then I'd go, yeah, but I'm not ready. You know, you make an excuse. I feel it and I see, but I'm not ready. So you go into your next transition and you're an asset for another brand.
Yeah.
And then you realize, whoa, you get bigger. You see the elevation.
Yeah.
And then I went, I don't know what it's going to look like, but I'm going to step out on my own and I'm going to be my brand. I'm going to take responsibility for my brand and the same energy and effort I put into a big brand, I'm going to put it into me because my brand is bigger. Listen, for you to look at yourself and say your brand is bigger than, it means that you have to work towards getting to that target. And I'm betting on myself.
Yes.
So I think the biggest thing was coming out with my own brand.
So what do you think, what part do you think values plays in that? And I'll share my own story regarding values. For me, the reason for leaving corporate, the corporate world when I did, because like all the things you said about having the trappings for the regular salary, I had the title, I had the almost the notoriety, the benefits, and you know, people knew me, she's somebody, doors open where they wouldn't have opened, that kind of stuff. But then it got to a point where that wasn't
enough.
It wasn't enough. It wasn't what I wanted. Mm-hmm. So you have to pivot. to what you want. Yeah. So do you think? So what part does values play in your pivots?
It's extremely important. I think sometimes in trying to figure out life, you know, you have to go into these different spaces that maybe you wouldn't normally go into. I will always suggest and advise to our sister queens out there that they must never try to compromise on whatever their core values are and what they stand for.
Yeah.
So even if you have to transition, make sure that you're still transitioning in a space that holds on to you or is a reflection or aligns with your principles and your ideals. Because once you lose your character, then really and truly, who are you?
Yes.
You know, so I think you must always be grounded and rooted in who you are. What changes, though, is what is important to me takes more precedence than what is important to everyone else,
right,
which is something that women have a very hard time saying and doing.
Yeah.
Y'all know who you are out there, right? It's really asking yourself, and that's why I love Ikigai for some of you viewers who may not know, it's a Japanese concept of your reason for being and your purpose. And they take these four simple circles: what you love to do, what you are good at, what will people pay for, what does the world need? And when they intersect those four circles in that nice cushy center where everything intersects, that's you.
Yeah.
So in doing all of the transitions, I started to ask, well, what do you love? Mm. What are you good at? And when I was able to narrow it down, it made my transitions so much clearer. And I found the niche that I was comfortable in, and that's the niche I chose to operate in. But if we're just kind of going on the fly and we're not really taking the time to ask, well, what's important to us?
Yes.
And, you know, what do we see for ourselves in the next 5 years? Not our children, not our husband or our boyfriend or whoever. When you start to ask those questions, I think it adds the value to the conversation of where you need to now be putting your eggs. Where you need to be putting your attention and your effort.
And I'm so glad you talked there about niche, because, you know, from my experience, as much as you may transition, have an idea what you want, it's or you're always fine tuning it along the way till you find till you get to your niche, and even then your niche may still divide again to what you want. So if you had to start over again from scratch, knowing what you know now, what would you do differently? Yes, I ask all the hard questions here.
Ooh. You know, that's a very good question, and my answer is going to be so stupid. Oh my God, my answer is going to be so stupid. You're supposed to tell me I wouldn't change a thing. Would you believe me? If I told you that I wouldn't change a thing, would it be a stupid answer?
It would be a stupid answer after talking to you and listening to how you operate. It would.
Thank you very much for sparing my feelings. I really appreciate it, Janice.
It wouldn't.
Here's my thinking. And we see it in the movies all the time, you know, the time travel. We see it all the time where people try to go back to the right or wrong or to change a little thing. And, you know, the theme in these movies is always, if you try to change anything in your past, it is bound to change your trajectory. Everything that I have learned in my life, bucking my toe, you know, trying to figure out things on my own, would I have been this driven if I changed something and made life easier for me at some point in this time? Maybe I wouldn't be as hungry. Maybe I wouldn't be as driven. Maybe I wouldn't be as desperate to try to figure out and dig really deep.
Yeah.
Because a lot of us always think that because we know more now, if we go back and shift things, that we'll be able to operate in greatness because we now know. And I don't think so.
Yeah.
The more we know, the cushier life is, the more complacent we become, the less likely we are to really put all in it. So for me, I had disappointments. I had rejection. I mean, my first job, I got paid $2,000 Jamaican dollars a week, which is $20 US. But you know what? I learned a lot in those small roles. And I've come to understand that when you honor the small roles and you honor the disappointments and the rejections and the setbacks, you will honor the big ones when you get it. Mm. So would I change anything? No. I will keep those training grounds as hard as they are because I like who I have become and who I have maintained myself.
And I bet there's a lot of work went into that as well.
A lot of work. And because I appreciate the molding and the shaping that took place, I couldn't get that without the pressure.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have gone in search for help and listening to my abilities if things came easy. It just wouldn't have happened.
And so you're right. And you're right. It's when I look back on my own career and trajectory, it is those circumstances, those things that were uncomfortable that made you challenge what you were doing to get out of those places, to take that step, to take that risk. You know, there's probably some things I won't say on podcasts that I do. And I look back and go, whoa, did you do that? Okay. Okay, you know, yeah, you did that, right?
Yeah.
That's between
and it's okay. And I think for women, you know, we're caught up in, you know, you have the social media and everything where we see what success looks like, and it's you in power suits, and you know, you have a particular car or a particular house, and you know, or you're in a particular job, you're in a corner office overlooking some view. And I think what we need to realize is that sometimes we have to be in spaces that make us uncomfortable.
Yes.
Maybe we are going to be in spaces that does not look anything like success based on what it seems to look like on the outside, but it is there for you.
Yeah.
You are there for a particular reason, to learn a particular skill or thing to move on to your next role.
Definitely.
And I've said it to women as well. If you, sometimes you don't move to the next role because you're not ready. You're not ready. So sometimes you're going to be in spaces, in roles with titles that mean nothing to other people, maybe not, nothing to your family or whatever. But if you honor your role and you honor your title, regardless of how small it is, then you'll realize that when you get the bigger role, then you'll definitely know how to step into it and how you'll be able to account for yourself in the bigger roles.
Yeah, you won't see it at that point, but you'll get to that next journey of something. Wow, oh yeah, that's what X taught me, you know, and that's what's priceless.
Correct. And I'll go as far as saying that when you go to the next level and you apply yourself or you apply certain skills, and you really take the time to sit down. And I always ask women to sit down and just think about where you're coming from.
Yes.
You realize a lot of the skills are the skills you learned in the terrible jobs, the jobs that never paid you, the jobs that never regard you, the ones with like a title, because you had to figure out a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Those are the skills you're able to now apply when you get into the next level.
So I'm loving this conversation, Terry Carell. Loving this conversation.
Thank you.
So share with us a success quote or a mantra that you use and why that particular quote is meaningful to you.
Man, I've got so much, Janice. You really come with like the Miss World questions, the questions that people hope they don't get asked because it's like, what is that? I have a lot of quote. One is anonymous, and I grew up, I found this quote when I was in maybe seventh grade, and I stuck with it, which is to never be content with someone else's definition of you.
Yes.
Instead, define yourself by your own values and beliefs.
Yes.
And I think if we can truly love ourselves and love all of us, flaw, faults, the good, the weakness, if we can be content with who we are and we can define ourselves, like what our success looks like, what our peace and happiness looks like, life is so much nicer because we stop pleasing everybody.
Absolutely.
That to me is a quote that I sit on, sleep on, lie on, draw for.
Yeah.
But my other favorite one, which is, I'm sneaking in another one, is definitely Marcus Garvey. Which speaks of if you do not have confidence in yourself, then you are twice defeated in the race of life. because it goes back again to what we said earlier.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how many groups you want to jump in, how many, you know, webinars. If you do not figure out who self is and be confident in what you bring to the table, then you have been twice defeated in this race of life. The difference between you and other people is that they've just decided to bet on themselves, just to try. And that's what I would like our women, our sister queens, to do for themselves.
Excellent. I keep loving this. Just gold. It's just gold. So, Terry Carral, what advice would you give to your teenage self? You already described your teenage self a little bit to me. But what advice would you give to her now?
Yo, eye on the prize. Keep your eye on the prize. When I was growing up, and the reason it's almost like the not changing the past.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, I wouldn't say I was bullied, because what bullying is now is nothing in comparison to what it was maybe back in the day, or what it was back in the day is nothing in comparison to what it is now.
Yeah.
But people always have a way of making you feel guilty about being good. And it starts from when you're young, you know, and I had persons who used to rattle me all the time. They rag on me because I was always chosen to give the vote of thanks. I was always the one that the teacher said write on the board, or I was always the one that was asked to represent the school. You know, I was always the form captain, the host captain, the head girl, the form. I was always that girl, because I just always said, you know, if you're going to do something, do it to the best of your ability and love what you're doing. And people did not like that. My colleagues back in the day, you had those who loved you, and then you had those who, there were people who, there was a girl who even went as far as telling me, your name is so extra, like Terry Carral with a hyphen, with Miss No Middle Name. As in, don't your name. People will make you feel bad for your name.
Yeah.
And so, there are a lot of times without all of these resources and social media and anti-bullying and love yourself campaigns, which we never have back in the day.
Yeah.
I had to keep my eye on the prize. I had to keep on reminding myself, you are not doing anything wrong. You are getting the grades. You're doing your extracurricular activities. You're doing what you love. You're doing your art. If you were to dial back right now, who would you be helping?
Mm.
What, for them to feel better?
Yes.
For them to feel better about themselves? And it's from in high school, I realized that whatever problem you have with me for being good at what I do, that's not my problem.
Yes.
That's for you to go and sort out. And I just kept on my little road, doing my little thing with my little energy, going. I became blinded to everybody who was a detractor. And you know what I realized coming out of high school? They disappear. Either they disappear or they come back around to be in your presence, to be in your company.
Yeah.
So if there's anything I'm going to tell my teenage self, it is going to say, yo, make them come. They're going to come.
Yeah.
But when they come, because I know what I know in the future, keep your eye on the prize.
Yeah, because then they
Do not yield.
It's when they want to know you. All of a sudden, these people want to know you. Oh, hang on a minute, you know.
But when you're older, you realize a lot of them were trying to figure out themselves.
Exactly.
A lot of them were lost. And you are this big, bright light. Where you shine so bright for? Why are you blinding all of us for? Mm. They don't understand even what's going on in their world, which is why I also tell women, when you meet people like that, the detractors, the naysayers, don't waste your time. You're not going to waste your time or your energy or your attention trying to explain to them the value that you bring, or trying to explain to them why they should like you, or trying to shoot. No, you have no time for that. Yeah. We do not entertain that energy. We go, okay, cool. Because it has nothing to do with me.
Ugh.
Eye on the prize.
Yes, definitely. Definitely to start out.
You have to start out yourself. Yeah, for sure. I tell you, don't you.
So, come down to our last few questions, Terry Carral.
Yes, I know.
If you could choose your own mentor, who would it be and why?
Oh, Janice. Man, for persons who watch cricket, boy, you be licking sixes out of the park. My mentor Funny enough, before I didn't even know what a mentor, you know, I did not know what a mentor was until recently. And when I say recently, like maybe my late 20s, okay. I had never heard of the term.
Yeah.
I never knew there was mentorship, nothing, zero. Mm-hmm. But when people ask me how it is, who it is that helped to guide and mold me, Millicent Audra Scott, my 89-year-old grandmother.
Okay.
Who gave up her job to take care of me as a baby. Because yes. my mommy had me at 23 and she had just gotten her brand new job. And my grandmother said she wanted her to now have the ability to get her start. Right. Okay. And she would not have been able to take the job as a flight attendant for Air Jamaica and travel if okay. she had this newborn yeah. baby at home.
Yeah.
And so grandma gave up her secretary job and she decided she was going to stay home with me.
Wow.
And she's the lady who taught me to read and write before I even got to school.
Yeah.
She's the one who taught me my social graces. She's the one that molded me and told me from I was young that people are going to be intimidated. Mm. People are going to be uncomfortable when you step yeah. into rooms, and that is not supposed to be your problem. So really yes. and truly, it is this woman. I am the living, breathing example of the love and the pride and the care that she poured into me every single day. I'm a public speaker because of my grandmother. Yeah. I can eat with the queen at the table and know all of my fork and knife because of my grandmother. And you realize how important these things are when you step out into yeah. the spaces and you realize that deals are made over dinner.
Yes.
Deals are made yes. over lunch. Deals yes. are made in fancy restaurants.
Yes.
Are made because you can express yourself, and I would not have been able to do any of that without my grandma. So she was my mentor before I even yeah. understood the term,
yes.
and she's my mentor to this day.
Beautiful, beautiful. I hope you've told her.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure. And I think one of the biggest things that she taught me was when she was a young woman, she was Panamanian, came to Jamaica, got right. married, didn't understand the culture, yeah. and her husband was womanizer, terrible, terrible womanizer.
Yeah.
She had twin boys and a girl who was my mommy.
Yeah.
And one day she approached him about it, and she's, you know, she kind of said, you know, she's soft spoken. She said she just yeah. didn't understand the disrespect, you know, staying out, not yeah. coming in.
Yeah.
You know, what is this? This is not what a marriage is. And apparently he didn't like the fact that she pulled him up about it.
Right.
And she always describes it as him bending his head and going to charge her. She was standing up against a wall.
Yeah.
And he was going to basically charge into yeah. her. And she took up a vase that was on on a table beside her, and she broke it over his head. He didn't die.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
for
yeah.
your he didn't die. Yeah. But that was the end of the relationship. And she took right. her, she removed herself with her three young children
right.
at the time. At a time when marriage and union was still yeah. a very
yeah.
big deal.
Yeah.
And that simple thing has taught me that I am never to allow myself to stay in any relationship,
yes.
whether it is platonic
yeah.
or whether it is romantic. I am never to sit down and allow anybody to disrespect me or to make me feel I do not have the opportunity to express myself.
Yeah.
And if that is going to be toxic, I must get up and remove myself, uproot myself, if it means self-preservation. It may not be the ideal situation or conditions, but if she can do it,
yes,
I can do it.
Yeah.
And that is something she taught me without even teaching it to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I have a phrase that I always use for that situation, for people like that, and I call them the unconscious influencers. Yeah, it's because we are all them in some shape or form. Again, we just
love
don't
that.
Know.
You love that.
No, so yeah, so I'm a big believer of unconscious influences. So
yeah,
my mother, I class my mother as an unconscious. That was my first one. That's where I coined the phrase from. She was my unconscious influencer, seeing how she navigated what she was doing to raise us. And then, like you say, realizing that's where all your influences came from and why you do what you do and how you react, how you react, and you don't want to let them down.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And sometimes we speak about mentorship and people go to celebrities, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
There are some well-known persons who have done very well for themselves. But I always tell people, sometimes if you look right under
close
your nose,
to home. Yeah.
if you look right under yeah. your nose, you realize that a lot yeah. of your knowledge and a lot of your experience that you fall back on isn't even things that you picked up now in a webinar or but it's things that have been planted long before, whether it was a teacher from primary school or a grandparent. And so sometimes even when we're thinking about mentors, you know, sometimes we don't have to look very far, but those persons would have changed our trajectory some point in our lives.
So true. So Terry Carell, what are the three things you've learned about yourself during your career?
I've learned that I'm a multi-potentialite in a world.
In a world
that tells you, especially as a woman, you're to know your place. And from a branding standpoint, most people will tell you, you know, stick to this one thing and, you know, build on this one thing. And there's merit to that. And it makes people like me who, you know, we might be good at many things and we're interested in many things and we're curious about everything. We feel like misfits because everyone is basically saying, you're all over the place. I love the fact that I'm a multi-potentialite because I've been able to pull on these different areas and avenues that I've also expanded into to make me a better person. I have different perspectives and different goals because I'm not sticking to this one plan. So I'm definitely a multi-potentialite. What I have learned about myself is that I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher by nature. If I learn something, I am going to share it with my online community because I believe the pie is bigger for everybody to feed. And there's no greater feeling than when somebody comes back and says, remember that thing that you said the other day? I did it and wow, I'm now seeing this. And it gives me this insane joy to know that as you are going up your ladder of success or wherever, you have to push it back down to somebody else. So I realized that I am a teacher. And number three, I think I always knew that I was a communicator. I realize now that it is definitely one of my core skills. Crafting messages, meeting people where they're at, connecting to people on so many different levels, regardless of where they are, and getting a message to become actionable on their part. I think those are the three things that I take away on the top of my head.
Fantastic. So multi-potentialite, teacher, communicator.
Fabulous. Yes, ma'am.
Fabulous. So my last question. What does success feel like to you?
I hope they never have you on a job as a judge for one of these pageants. Because those girls are gonna tremble. Success to me feels like happiness, fulfillment, and peace.
Right.
It does not look, it may not look like everybody else's vision. It may not sound like what everybody has said success is to be, but that's fine. Success is original, it is personal, and it is wherever you find the most fulfillment, happiness, and peace, that is where you are successful. You are in the presence of your own type of success.
Definitely. And I love that, because I say feel, because I used to ask the question, what success look like? And someone said to me, but it's a real feeling. So I'm like, and feeling makes you think that little bit extra, okay, how do I want to feel when I'm successful? Not with the trappings. Exactly. It's not about the physical things. I want to feel I've got freedom. I want to feel I've got, you know, authenticity. You know, there's so much. It's so different. So that was my last question.
That's your last
official question. But if anybody would like to connect with you, Terry Carell, how can they do that?
They can connect on social media at Terry Carell. I actually put it up there at the bottom there, Terry Carell, or on LinkedIn, Terry Carell Reed. I'm extremely responsive, and I'm currently working on my website, terrycarell.com. But as soon as that goes live next week, I will definitely blast it out. So whether it's Instagram or LinkedIn, send a message, become a friend, become a connection. I'm happy to have you.
Fantastic, fantastic. So that was it, Terry Correll. It was absolutely wonderful connecting with you virtually, voice to voice, online. You know, it was great speaking with you. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, and thank you for everything that you do, Janice. I've seen you on LinkedIn, but there's nothing more authentic than when people actually, as you rightfully say, get to meet, well, not person to person, but virtually, you know, person to person. And to all the women who you're trying to serve, we just want to remind them that they are queens.
Yes.
And that they're to be honored. Yeah. And that their dreams and goals matter. Their voice matters. Absolutely. And they're not to apologize for taking up people space. Enough space. Space everywhere.
All the space.
It's yours. Go for it. Don't seek permission, because you are, in fact, power.
Thank you. We'll close on that. Thank you, Terry Correll.
No problem. Take care.
Wow, what did I tell you? Wasn't that a great interview? I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And there were so many points raised by Terry Correll and the other countless women in leadership that I've interviewed, and that these were reiterating. You'll hear me say countless times as well, such as not wait for permission or validation to go after what you want. You don't have to wait for anybody's permission to go after what brings you success, what you feel you want in life. Being unafraid of failure to as you go on your pursuit of success, failure can redefine who you are and what you do, and it really should be embraced. Never underestimating your potential. You know, believe in what you are worth. You know it, but believe in it. That's the difference. Creating your own definition of self. So really not letting someone else's opinion of you define who you are. Define that for yourself. And as we head to living in the new normal, your thoughts are probably focused on what next for your career. How can you take those next steps? How can you elevate your game in the leadership realm? Well, I've got great news for you, because I'm opening applications for the next cohort of my Purpose, Power and Presence Women's Leadership Program. It's a coaching program designed and led by me, specifically developed to help women build their leadership capability and presence, develop their strategic thinking, enhance professional influence, and harness their natural skill sets. And it's designed so you can test boundaries, hone your natural skill sets, while being provided with structure and support in a collaborative process. Plus, you'll have the support and community of other women who are also focused on driving their leadership destiny. Now, it starts in a couple of months or a few weeks, and if you'd like to know more or secure your spot, head over to www.janicesutherland.com to learn more and to speak to me more about it. I really can't wait for you to be part of the program. It's very designed to be very small, so you get lots of hands-on support and encouragement throughout the whole process. So that's it for this week. As I said, fantastic interview with Dr. Terry Correll Reed. I really hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, because that's how I get the word out to other fabulous women like yourself. And remember, if I can, you can, this woman can. Take care. Until next time. Hi, it's Janice. Thanks for being a supporter of the podcast. But have you joined the This Woman Can community online? It's where ambitious women can share experiences, strategies, and insights that equip and inspire them to build their career success, maximize their leadership, and make an impact in their world. And it's free. Join today. Visit www.thiswomancan.coach. Look forward to meeting you there.